Thank you very much, our sound system. I'm very thankful for the work of Mr. Aaron Lambach. He's doing a great job. It's been probably a busy week for you. It's been a busy Sabbath for me. Like the minister, my first minister said in France when I came, just being ordained a deacon, the only thing he told me was good courage. I signed for it. Okay, enough talking about myself. Talking about a servant of God today. Moses is well known to be one of the greatest prophets of Israel. He's famous for his role in the liberation of the children of Israel from their slavery in Egypt during the 15th century before our era. The messages of Moses for Israel, the chosen people, were extremely important. They are called the law. And they are still extremely important today, since they reveal the keys of success for any nation under the sun, even today. Why? Because they do not contain the temporal promises of a political person, but they do contain eternal promises of God Almighty, the precious promises of the Creator of heavens and earth, who is the supreme sovereign of the entire existing universes. And his faithfulness endures forever, as King David wrote in Psalm 100, verse 5, and 117, verse 2. We know and we do believe that his promises are solid and sure forever. So the first five books of the Bible are extremely important for the whole world, for the whole humanity. They are attributed to Moses. Jesus Christ himself did not say the law of A, B, C, D, and E. He clearly said the law of Moses in Luke chapter 24, verse 44. Even if the law was God-breathed or divinely inspired to Moses by God, as Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, Moses spoke the words, and the words were written down, either by him or by secretaries. When I was a student at ABC, sorry, I'm going to talk about myself again, 10 years ago, one of my questions during the classes was this. We know that David was a king. We know that, you know, Ehud, Samson were judges. We know that Samuel, Eli, Jonah were prophets. But who was Moses? I was intrigued. I wanted to know. Today we will review the different responsibilities and the titles that show us who Moses was. Let us turn to Deuteronomy chapter 34, if you would, as a beginning. This is the last chapter of the Pentateuch, or the last chapter of the book of Deuteronomy as well, which is the fifth book of the law. If you have a chance to open one day a German Bible, maybe you did already, you will see right away that the first books of the Bible are not called Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy in German. They are called 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 4th, 5th, Moses. That's their name. The end of the book of Deuteronomy and the account of Moses' death obviously was not written by Moses himself, but possibly by Joshua, who was Moses' successor as a leader of Israel, or maybe another elder, or maybe a group of elders. And the author, whoever he is, of chapter 34, writes the following summary about the ministry of Moses as a conclusion of the law. He says, verse 10, this is Deuteronomy 34, "But since then there has not arisen in Israel a prophet like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, in all the signs and wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt, before Pharaoh, before all his servants, and in all his land, and by all that mighty power and all the great terror which Moses performed in the sight of all Israel." Moses' life was extremely long. He died at the age of 120 years, as we read in verse 7. And strangely, his life could be divided into three equal periods of 40 years each. He spent his first 40 years in Egypt at the royal court of Pharaoh, where he received an education of higher standard. And then he was compelled to flee to the land of Midian for the sake of his life, because he killed an Egyptian. And there in Midian, he stayed another 40 years. And when 40 years had passed, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire in a bush in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, as we read in the book of Acts chapter 7, verse 30. Then begins the third part of his life. Moses was 80 years old. Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. This is Exodus 7. And so Moses spent his last 40 years serving as prophet of God in the wilderness. Several modern interpretations suggest that Moses wanted to be the leader of his people. But these assumptions are not supported by the scriptures. After fleeing from Egypt for the sake of his life, Moses went to Midian, where he met the priest of Midian, Reuel. And Reuel, whose name is also Jethro, had seven daughters. We read in Exodus chapter 2 that Moses was content to live with the man, and he gave Zipporah, his daughter, to Moses, verse 21. And several decades passed, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, before the king of Egypt finally died. During this period, well, the situation of the Israelites in Egypt became really, really bad, to the point that they groaned because of the bondage and they cried out, verse 23. God was perfectly aware about what they were going through, and he heard their moans. He chose to reveal himself to Moses in a burning bush to tell him that he was chosen, Moses was chosen, as the messenger of God and as the deliverer of his people. Exodus chapter 3. After explaining to him that he had heard the moans of his children, God said to Moses, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Verse 10. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Verse 11. So you see here, not a proud man, a proud person in a hurry to grab the opportunity to show off as a leader, but rather a humble man, not puffed up, not thinking something like, "Ah, finally my personal talents are being recognized, guess what, by God himself." Moses declined the divine offer, but God tells Moses that he would help him, and he even told him that he should say to the children of Israel, to the elders of the people, and to the king of Egypt, to know what he has planned for. When Moses worried that the people would not believe that he appeared to him, that God appeared to him, Exodus chapter 4, then the Lord gave Moses three miraculous signs that would happen. He was going to change his staff into a snake and then proceed to the opposite. He would make his hand leprous and make it healthy again. And he was going to change water to blood. Moses would be able to use these signs as proof that God was acting through him, but he was not still convinced. And he replied, "Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue." Verse 10. Even when the eternal God said to Moses, "Go and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. Verse 12. Moses continued to begrudge, and he replied, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. In other words, please, not me. Verse 13. So, you see, Moses gave not less than three excuses, and he finally tells God, that's not for me. And because of this reticence of Moses, we finally see the irritation of God. God is irritated. The patience of God is tried. But again, he facilitates the process and the mission by pointing out Aaron, Moses' brother. Aaron would be his speaker, his spokesperson, verse 14. And we see that this account of the calling of Moses shows us how God proceeds. He chooses who he wants as a prophet. Who he wants as a prophet. We see also Moses not finding himself ready to serve as a prophet. But finally, what happened during his life? Moses managed to tighten his bond with the Lord. And at the end of his life, Moses finally fulfilled the role he had been called to fill. That is to lead the people of Israel to the promised land. Despite, as we know, ups and downs, the mission was accomplished. It was done. Something interesting is that the relationship of Moses with God became even so strong that the Lord God greatly esteemed him. When Miriam, and Aaron spoke against Moses about the Ethiopian woman that he had taken as his wife, God revealed what he thought, really, of Moses. And here is what he said. He spoke directly to Moses' brother and his sister, and he said this, Hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, making myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 through 8. So from God himself, we hear the main title of Moses. He is called the servant of God. Now let us examine what the Lord God does through Moses in his role, in his roles as a leader, as a legislator, and as a prophet for Israel, the people of God. First, as a leader. We know that Moses returned to Egypt and guided the children of Israel when they came out of this country. We know that God did many miracles to show that Moses was his prophet, that God struck Egypt with 10 plagues, culminating in the liberation of his people. These events are recounted in the book of Exodus from the last part of chapter 4, to chapter 12 included. Although it is often said that Moses was the one who liberated the ancient Israelites, in fact, it was God. It was God who made them free. Moses and Aaron were only his messengers. Here is what they said to Pharaoh. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. This is Exodus chapter 5. Moses and Aaron always recognized that the messages and the miracles came from God. After the Israelites were released, Moses told his father-in-law, Jethro, all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake. all the hardship that had come upon them on the way, and how the Lord had delivered them. Exodus chapter 18. Second role of Moses, a legislator. Moses is often spoken of as the greatest legislator of the Old Testament. Now, it's necessary at this point to keep clearly in our mind that God is the supreme legislator, obviously. Moses was a servant, once again, a prophet, a messenger of God. When the children of Israel gathered together at the foot of Mount Sinai, at the bottom of Mount Sinai, I should say, as the foot, that's French, I'm sorry, to hear the Ten Commandments, it is God who powerfully communicated with them. As we can read in Exodus chapter 20, after just at the beginning of verse 1 and 2, God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And he was talking directly to them. Now, figure that out if you can. I mean, it must have been one of the most important dates in history. Never, ever had people, any human being, heard the voice of God before. At the sound of thunder, or to that extent, I should say, to that volume, at the sound of thunder and trumpet, facing the flames of the steaming mountain, when God communicated to the people his Ten Commandments, they feared to hear again the voice of God, literally. They say to Moses, you speak with us and we will hear, but let not God speak with us lest we die. Verse 19. Well, the response of God is that God agreed. And from then on, God communicated his other messages and additional instructions, including all his statutes, all his ordinances through his messenger Moses. So Moses was a legislator, so to speak. After the death of Moses, it was through his prophets that God continued to address his people. Now, we jump to the third role of Moses. He was also a prophet of God. One of the most important prophecies God gave to his servant Moses was that later he would raise up a prophet like him. As Moses said, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren, him you shall hear. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 15. This prophet was going to be fully supported by God. As the Almighty pointed out, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words, which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. Verse 19. This prophet was Jesus Christ. Evoking this prophecy, a voice said to Peter, John, and James, when Jesus was transfigured, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Matthew chapter 17, verse 5. Jesus Christ himself said that he was fulfilling this prophecy. Addressing the Jews, he declared, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. John chapter 5, verse 39. And he goes on to say, do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? When the people of the first century heard Jesus Christ and witnessed of his miracles, many of them realized that he was the prophet of whom Moses spoke. After that, he miraculously fed the crowd from 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. John chapter 6, verse 14. Others drew the same conclusion, after he had spoken of the Holy Spirit on the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living waters." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, "Truly, this is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Christ." John chapter 7, verse 37. After the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus, the apostles affirmed that their master was the prophet. The prophet who had been announced. And here is what Peter said in his sermon at Pentecost in 31 AD. This is Acts chapter 22 and through 26. He said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart rejoiced and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also will rest in hope.'" So, Peter clearly stated that the prophet spoken of by Moses was Jesus of Nazareth. There is a Muslim tradition that offers another explanation, saying that Muhammad was the prophet announced by Moses. Well, this explanation is contrary to the New Testament passages that we just read, or that I just quoted, and that specify that the prophet that Moses was talking about was Jesus Christ, not Muhammad. Another important prophecy communicated by Moses is the one called Blessings and Curses in Leviticus chapter 26 and Deuteronomy chapter 28. In these passages, God explained to the ancient Israelites the consequences of obedience and disobedience to his laws. Under the covenant that he concluded with ancient Israel, God promised blessings for obedience to his laws, but also curses in case they would disobey. Subsequently, when his people disobeyed the Lord God, the nation was afflicted, like Moses had predicted it. Because of their sins, the nation was conquered by some other nations and dispersed in other countries, exactly as he had predicted. We read this in Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Leviticus chapter 26. What is also interesting is that God, through the words spoken by Moses, promised that if the ancient Israelites and their descendants departed from him because of their disobedience, he would not destroy them entirely. He would not. We often recognize that the modern state of Israel represents, so to speak, a fulfillment of this prophecy. Nevertheless, the small nation of modern Israel, being mostly Jewish, represents only two of the 12 tribes of Israel, as we know, Judah and Benjamin. So the contract between God and ancient Israel is called the Old Covenant. The Christians to the present day are called to live under the New Covenant, which offers better promises, including the promise of the Holy Spirit. Although the Old Covenant has been replaced The blessings and the curses announced by Moses under that covenant are still permanent principles for nations and individuals. They are still there. As the proverb says, justice raises a nation, but sin is the shame of the people. This is Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34. So, brethren, as a conclusion, as we continue our self-examination, this process during these days, leading soon to the time of Passover, one of the things that we should ask, among many, that we should ask ourselves is this: do we practice justice? Let us make sure that we know what God is expecting from us. It was spoken by Moses, who was the servant, the messenger, and the prophet of God.